Well, happy Thanksgiving. This is the week that we celebrate and give thanks to God. It doesn't matter what the government says about the day. We know it's about giving thanks to God. Okay, our government even pauses to give thanks to God. The whole world knows that we've paused to give thanks to God. And they know that the God we're giving thanks to is God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they recognize that, and they may call it the Christian God, but it is the God. You know, we know that our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian value. We understand that. I ran across this little article that I'll read here. It says, the tradition of thanksgiving as a time to focus on God and thank Him for His blessing dates back almost four centuries in America. Colonists, listen to this, held Thanksgiving services in Texas in 1541 in the Paladuro Canyon with Coronado and his men. That's the first recorded Thanksgiving in the New World. Of course it was in Texas. Of course it was, right? All right. In the Paladuro Canyon, you know, that's pretty cool. In Florida in 1565 and in Virginia in 1607 and 1619, but it was the pilgrims that we derived the current tradition of Thanksgiving that includes prayers to God, a meal with friends, and listen to this, a time of athletic competition. That means it's okay to watch the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, they're just... We're talking about Texas? Paladuro Canyon, Texas, that's where it starts, okay? It says, the pilgrims arrived in America in December of 1620 and experienced a harsh winter of extreme hunger and starvation in which half of them died. The following summer, the pilgrims reaped a bountiful harvest. As Pilgrim Edward Winslow, who later became their governor, affirmed, God be praised, we had a good increase of corn, and by the goodness of God, we are far from want. The grateful pilgrims therefore declared a three-day feast in December of 1621 to thank God and to celebrate with their friends. 90 Wampanoag Indians joined the 50 pilgrims for 3 days of food, which included shellfish, lobsters, turkey, cornbread, berries, deer, and other foods, of athletic games. And I say they had athletic games. The young pilgrim and Wampanoag men engaged in races, wrestling matches, and other athletic events, and of prayer. This celebration, America's first Thanksgiving festival, was the origin of the holiday that Americans now celebrate each November. The first national Thanksgiving was proclaimed in 1789 by President George Washington. But after George Washington, the national Thanksgiving proclamations were kind of sporadic. Most official Thanksgiving observances occurred at the state level. In fact, by 1815, state governments had issued no less than 1,400 official prayer proclamations, almost half of which were for days of Thanksgiving and prayer. It was Abraham Lincoln in 1863 that set aside the last Thursday of that November. Over the next 75 years, presidents faithfully followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a national Thanksgiving Day. But the date of the celebrations varied widely from proclamation to proclamation. In 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt celebrated Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday and maintained that date year by year throughout his presidency. In 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday in November as the National Thanksgiving Holiday. So we can see that it's been in this country for centuries that people have given thanks to God for His bounty in our lives. And so we know that we give thanks to God for His goodness in our lives. Thanksgiving is a good day. It's a time to reflect on the goodness of God. You know what? If we will stop and give thanks and speak our gratitude, it's difficult to complain. I mean, you know, if you're complaining about not getting enough turkey and dressing, which I've never heard anybody do that, quite honestly, it's hard to give thanks. But if you're giving thanks, it's hard to be ungrateful. I know this. We have a lot to be grateful for. A lot to be grateful for. I'm grateful that you're here this morning. I'm grateful that we can be together and worship Jesus. Wasn't that a great time of just worship and just being in His presence? We need to take an inventory. You know, businesses take inventory every year. And the purpose of the inventory is not to find out what they don't have, but to find out what they do have. We need to be grateful for what we do have. Consider what we do have in our lives. I mean, we need to display our fellowship. I mean, display our gratitude and have intimate fellowship with God because of what He's done. We need to be thankful. We need to be mindful this holiday season of people like the Bonner family who've lost their dad. And we need to be thankful and display our love and compassion on them during this season. You know, I think one time years ago we lived in Dumas, and we went to the nursing home every Thursday. Was it Thursday? Yeah. Every Thursday we went to the nursing home. I mean, we'd go every week. Tammy and I went every week, and we had the wonderful opportunity to minister to the people that were in that particular nursing facility. They couldn't really come to church, even though after a while we began to bring people to church from there. Some of their families didn't like it very much because we weren't a traditional denominational church, but they came anyway. In fact, we baptized one lady. She was 90, how old? 96, 94, somewhere. And we baptized her, and she said to me, she said, "The only thing I've not done for the Lord is I've never been baptized." And I mean, it was like February, and so we brought her to church. Her family said, "No, don't do it. You'll get pneumonia." She said, "It doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to obey God." And she said, "And Pastor Randy's going to do it." And so we baptized her in the middle of the winter, and she didn't die then. I mean, she eventually went to be with the Lord. But she was also a lady that had a tumor in her back. And she knew that God would heal her. And they said, "Well, who do we call?" And she said, "I know this. If Pastor Randy will put his hand on my back, I'll be healed." Sure enough, I put my hand on her back. And it wasn't Pastor Randy. It was her faith. I put my hand on her back, and that thing disappeared. And she lived long after that. Anyway, we'd go every week. And I never watered down the messages for the nursing home. I mean, I went and preached to them the same thing I preached on Sunday mornings at the church. I mean, it was just shorter. I just preached one point from the message. But I preached them the same thing that I preached at church. And we considered them a part of our church because we went every week and we ministered to them. And we would go, and Tammy would play the keyboard. And this is how we actually started the ministry in our lives. She'd play the keyboard. We'd pass out the hymn books, and we'd sing a hymn or two. Tammy would play the keyboard. I would lead the singing. And then I would preach. And so, you know, one day we had done that because we did it every week. And after I was finished, there was one man, and he had been sick. And so as we were walking out, you know, and I was just being polite. I said, "I hope you get better." And he said to me, "I hope you get better too." I'm thankful, though, that we got to go and preach to those people every single week. Not everybody, you know, enjoyed it as much as we did. But it's a time for us to give thanks. It's a time for us to really have gratitude. You know, I ran across a story. Different story. Okay. I ran across a story. I think I know which one they're laughing at, but I'm not going to. I ran across this story. There was a mother who was trying to impress on her children, at Thanksgiving time, the importance of going to church every week and all that stuff. So it was near Thanksgiving, and so she points to a picture to her children, and she sees the pilgrims were going to church. And so she said to her children, she said, "See how the little pilgrim children went to church with their mommies and daddies? They like to go." And one of her children replied, he said, "Oh, yeah? Then why is their daddy carrying that gun?" And so we can be thankful. Amen. We can be thankful for what God is doing. Thanksgiving doesn't need to be a one-day event. It needs to be a lifetime event. It needs to be something we are grateful for every single day. Amen. Let me turn to a passage of Scripture. I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. The Lord's been speaking to us for several weeks about gratitude and being thankful. We understand that the way out is through gratitude. We understand that when we learn to say, "It is well," that's when we're going to begin to find deliverance. Apart from gratitude, there's not going to be the miraculous in our lives. Luke 17 kind of bears this out. Luke 17, verse 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he," talking about Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now I'm thinking this particular passage of Scripture will probably be read in churches all over this country today or next Sunday whenever they preach a Thanksgiving sermon. I mean, it's a great passage that demonstrates the power of Thanksgiving, the power of just being grateful. So we're going to look at this morning. In some ways, we've all been leprous. In some ways, we've all had something in our lives that only God could take care of. And we've all been in desperate need of His mercy. We've all been there. We've all been in that same place. See, salvation is more than just about getting to heaven, right? It's more than just getting born again, being cleansed from the leprosy. It's about communion with the Master, having intimate fellowship with Him, thanking Him, and worshiping at His feet. That's what we need to have. So I want us to look at this passage. First of all, I want to say this. Giving thanks to God is not optional behavior. It's not something we can do if we want to. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It's a good thing. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." Now, that same phrase is repeated many, many times throughout the Psalms. We're admonished to give thanks. I have not yet found the Scripture that says, "Oh, give complaints unto the Lord," or "Oh, murmur to the Lord." Even though people did murmur, and when they did murmur, they put themselves in opposition to God. The Bible tells us to give thanks. In Philippians, and you know this verse, Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing," or "be anxious or worried about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." The "with thanksgiving" is the important part. "Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we understand our job is not to worry. Our job is to pray and give thanks. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Thanksgiving should be a part of our whole life. Our prayers are not our cares. Our prayers are His answer from the Word with thanksgiving. We give Him thanks for what He's promised us. So I want us to look at this particular passage and think about a few things. First of all, there's something supernatural that takes place in our lives when we give thanks to God. Gratitude releases supernatural power, especially in the midst of trying times. Especially when we're going through something really, really tough, gratitude releases supernatural power. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "Give thanks and sing praises." So we understand something, and that is when we give thanks, it's connected to giving praise. We give thanks, we sing praises. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually." That is, now it's getting ready to tell us what the sacrifice of praise is. That is giving thanks to His name. The sacrifice of praise is giving thanks. Continually, we are to offer this sacrifice of praise. the sacrifice of praise is giving thanks. What it shows us is an attitude of thanksgiving from the heart. Even in tough times, we give thanks, and that is expressed through our mouth. When Christians go through tough times, the very first response that ought to take place in us is, thank you, God, for your promise. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Last night as we talked to June, and as she was lying there in the bed, she knows she's getting ready to go meet Jesus face to face, and she's really happy about it. She was thankful. She was grateful for what God has promised her. She was thankful that the Lord showed her that Gerald was going to beat her there. She was grateful to God. You see, we need to be people of gratitude no matter what is going on. But thanksgiving is always connected to praise. Praise is an essential part of deliverance. When we're going through a tough time, instead of us complaining to God, and yeah, it's okay to mention to God the problem. It's okay to tell Him what you're feeling and what's going on in your life, but as long as you finish it up with gratitude, thanking Him for His answer. When you read the Psalms, you find a lot of times in the Psalms that the psalmist would talk about the problems, but he would always end it up with saying, but I know you. I thank you. I praise you. Gratitude and praise are very, very closely connected. Praise is a part of our deliverance. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Jehoshaphat, who faced the army that was too large for him. The first thing he did was he sent out the praisers. The worship team went before the army. We talked about how that Paul and Silas were on the wall of the Philippian jail. At midnight, they began to sing and give praises to God. And it's in that process that God was able to deliver them. Praise is connected to deliverance throughout the Scripture. Thanksgiving is a part of praise. Whenever we're praising God, that includes our giving thanks. Thanksgiving, then, produces supernatural results. Supernatural power is released when we give thanks. So at Thanksgiving time, here's what we're going to expect. We're going to say thank you, praise you, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. And we're going to expect supernatural power to come. Ran across this scripture this week. This is out of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, listen to this, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It says here that the abundant, that grace comes through thanksgiving and that it redounds to the glory of God. The word redound means to superabound, be in excess, to be superfluous, superfluous, to cause to superabound or to excel. Grace comes to us in a superabundant supply when we learn how to give thanks. Whatever we're going through at this time of the year, we need to give thanks. I was impressed by Barbara this morning when she got to church and everybody else was talking about the wind and nobody was saying anything positive about it. And Barbara said, look at the leaves. They're dancing. And I thought, wow, that ain't what I was thinking. See, because what have you said about the wind today? I mean, it's like, this is the worst day I've seen in a long time. This is terrible out here. Look at that dirt. And all Barbara saw was that the leaves were dancing. That's a whole different way to think. She was grateful. I mean, I tell you, I'm grateful that I have eyes to see the leaves dance. I'm grateful that my wife has hair that can blow in the wind. I mean, I don't, but she does. I'm grateful that I can come and I can get in the wind. I'm kind of grateful that I'm heavy enough not blow away in the wind. You know, I mean, we can be grateful. We need to be grateful because the Bible says here that grace is supernaturally supplied when we give thanks. I don't know about you, but I need all the favor from God I can get. We also know from the Scriptures that when the people of God complained, they didn't have the favor of God. We also know from the Scripture that when they complained about what they thought they were complaining about, Moses or about this or about that, they were truly complaining about God. Wow, that's pretty tough. I know this. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. That means He can be in charge. And if I gripe, I'm complaining about the job that He's doing. I don't want to do that. God's favor comes. See, we need God. We need Him to come. Now, the story we read, we see the lepers came, and in Jesus' day, leprosy was incurable. I mean, no one knew what to do with it. Leprosy in Jesus' day was a living death. I mean, if you contracted leprosy, the end result was you were going to die, and your body was going to be racked with pain. The body was eaten away little by little. I mean, it just flaked away. Your body would go away. I was talking with a lady this week, and she was talking about how that because she had smoked for years, that the ends of her fingers were wearing off, and it was very painful. It was like leprosy. Now, here was the good news. The doctor said, if you'll quit smoking, it'll go away. And so she did, and it did. But leprosy just wore it away. I mean, parts of their bodies just simply fell off, little by little. The pain was excruciating. The Jews felt like that leprosy was some sort of punishment from God, that it was His harshest punishment, and they called it the finger of God, which was weird because we see Jesus heal lepers, and we find that's what God wanted to do with leprosy, not give it, but release people from it. But anyway, they felt like that's what was going on. Leprosy meant that people could not come in contact with other people. Leprosy created a barrier. Because according to the law, they had to be 100 paces away from other people. A leper could not come within 300 feet of somebody else because they knew it was highly contagious and that if they touched them or got too close to them, they could get leprosy. That was according to the law of Moses. They had to be 300 feet away. So leprosy, for these 10 lepers, leprosy created a barrier or a distance between them and Jesus. They simply were not supposed to come to Jesus. They weren't supposed to come in contact with Him. They had to stay away from Him. So when in this story, what they did was they came to their 300-foot space and they began to call out to Jesus. They didn't come to Him. Now, we know other stories in the Bible where people came to Him. And Jesus touched them. But in this particular one, they came. They were alienated from Jesus. What is the thing that alienates us from Jesus today? Sin. Leprosy is one of the greatest pictures of sin in all the Bible. They were alienated from the celebrations. They were alienated from their loved ones. They couldn't participate with what all the good things that God was doing in their community. They were totally alienated. Sin does that. It separates us from God, separates us from the celebrations that we can have with God, separates us from the intimacy we're supposed to have. They were separated. Now, this is a fascinating story to me because they come to Jesus. What did they ask Him for? Look back at the passage. They did not say, Jesus, heal us. They didn't ask for healing. They did not say, Jesus, cleanse us from our leprosy. They didn't ask for that either. When you look back at the story, what they asked Jesus for was mercy. What a picture. I mean, when we sin, we need mercy. When we're out of fellowship with God, we need mercy. These lepers came and they asked Him for mercy. Mercy is the answer to the curse. Mercy is the answer to sin. Mercy is the answer we need when we disconnect from God. We need His mercy. They came to Jesus and they said, Master. Now, this is different than the word for rabbi or lord or teacher. This word master means commander. They knew that Jesus was the commander. They knew after hearing about others that Jesus had command of mercy. That Jesus was the one who could command mercy to come to them. They said, Commander of mercy, have mercy, command some mercy my way. Jesus, we need you to command mercy. And here's the cool thing. Mercy had to obey Jesus because he was in charge of it. He is the Lord. He is the commander. Think about this verse. Titus 3:5. Ken, you probably know this one because we used to sing this one back in the 70s. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The next verse said, which he shed lavishly upon us through Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We needed mercy. Hebrews 4, verse 16. You know this one. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Mercy. We need mercy. The word mercy from the Greek, it literally means compassion, but it also, it has in its meaning compassion that includes the willingness to help alleviate the suffering. They said, have mercy, have compassion on us, and do something about our suffering. The word mercy, it also means clemency. Clemency in the Greek, that means clemency. The word clemency in English means kind or merciful treatment of someone who could be given harsh punishment. In other words, be easy on us. Give us something that we don't deserve here. We need mercy. Mercy. This is pretty cool. You and I have received mercy. The commander of mercy commanded that we could have mercy. We have received not just mercy, but all that mercy brings to us. Now that's enough to be thankful already, isn't it? Lord, we're thankful. You see, in mercy, healing came. In mercy, our redemption comes. We're delivered from the curse of this age as well as receive healing in our bodies. They came and they said, Master, have mercy. And then the Master spoke. And notice what he didn't do. Jesus operated different than most of us modern preachers. He didn't say, okay, boys, let me lay hands on you. He didn't do that. He didn't even pray for them. Because he dominated every bit of the curse. He didn't pray for them. He simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. You know, you'd think you would at least pray. They never asked for healing. He never said he'd heal them. They asked for mercy. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Another leper had come to Jesus another time and said, if you will, you can make me whole. That guy, Jesus, actually laid his hands on him and he was whole. But these particular guys, I mean, they never even got close to them or to him, and he simply gave a command and he said, go, show yourself to the priest. And they simply obeyed what he said. I mean, he just said, go do it. They knew that if he said, go to the priest, there's only one reason a leper would go to the priest. So the priest could look at him and declare that they were healed. So they immediately took off running. They didn't see the manifestation. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They simply obeyed And because they obeyed, the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Most of us, when we ask for mercy, we're not doing anything until we see some results, right? He said, go. They went. In my mind, I don't know why I think this. I don't know if the Bible says it. I can't remember. But they took off running to the priest. He said, go. They went running to see if they, to get this release from the priest so they could go back to their families, so they could go back to living their normal lives. Most of us want to see before we take any action. These guys, Jesus gave them the command, and as they went, they were healed. As they went, the leprosy quit. Obedience, then, is a channel for the supernatural also. They obeyed, and they received. I mean, you can find that throughout the New Testament. Jesus would talk to people, and he would tell them to do something, and when they did something, that's when the miracle took place. He told the man at the pool, get up. And when he got up, that's when the miracle took place. Even though he couldn't get up till he got up. He told people to see. He told people to speak. And it was as they obeyed him. Our job is to never understand. Our job is not to have to understand before we obey. We do get to understand a lot of things, but we obey before we ever understand sometimes. We have to get to the place where we quit trying to figure out things and just obey what God said. I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of things thinking that God was going to do it a certain way, and it never turned out that way, but when I obeyed him, eventually the right thing happened, even though I never figured it out. We need to do what he says to do. I've heard it said for many years, we're supposed to read the red and do what he said. Well, the truth is we read the red and the black and do what he said, but we obey him. As they obeyed, healing came. They would never have been healed if they would have stood around and telling people, well, I don't feel anything yet. They had to obey. They had to obey what he said. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. It doesn't matter what they think. Our job is to obey what he said. Obedience is a channel to supernatural aid from heaven. This is what I want to get to today. By the way, God's never obligated to perform his word until I obey it. I'll obey it, he'll perform it. There's a supernatural connection between thanksgiving and glory. We want God's glory. We want to see the manifestation of his presence. But there's a connection between thanksgiving and glory. They all ran off. One guy came back. One guy came back to give thanks. In verse 16 of that chapter, it says, he gave thanks. In verse 18 in that chapter, Jesus said that he gave glory. The thanks and the glory are connected. When we give thanks, we give glory to God. When we give thanks, we glorify him. Now, what is glory? Glory, this is my definition, is the intersection of his presence and his power. It's where the two meet together. He comes, manifests his presence. The word glory, in the Old Testament, the word for glory, has to do with weightedness, something that is heavy. Glory is the heavy presence of God where his power is released. Have you ever been in a service where there is all the, where there's glory and all of a sudden you can't stand up? And when you're worshiping, and all of a sudden it feels like your face is melting because his presence is there. That is connected in this passage to gratitude. I mean, his presence, when it's heavy upon us, it's hard for us to stand. When we give him glory, when we make the declaration that his word, his person, carries more weight in our life than anything else, his glory is made manifest to us. When I declare, God, I thank you, in the midst of what is going on, I thank you, I thank you. I remember one time,
This may be the time when I felt the presence of God maybe more strong than any other time in my life. No, there was another time more. But we had a lady in our church that was very ill. This was years ago. She was very ill. She had an enlarged heart, was waiting for a transplant. She happened to be Hispanic, and it was pretty funny because she didn't want a white heart. She wanted a Hispanic one because she was afraid that she would not be able to speak Spanish or something. I can't remember what the whole reason was. But she died. And I got to their house, and the ambulance hadn't gotten there. No one was there, but the dad and the daughter and I were there. And she was lying on the couch. The son came in. He was probably 16, 17 years old. Great big guy. He came in and he saw his mother's lifeless body laying on the couch. He fell to his knees and he began to give thanks. And I'm telling you right now, the presence of God entered that room. I couldn't believe she stayed dead. There was such presence of God because he gave thanks. Not that she had died. He gave thanks that she went into the presence of Jesus. He gave thanks that he would have the opportunity to see her again. He gave thanks. I mean, it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. He gave thanks. And when the ambulance people finally got there to take her, I mean, they stopped. They stood there for a minute because they couldn't figure out what it was they were sensing in the room. But it was God's presence. You see, there is something about gratitude that brings the glory of God. If you want God's help, if you want God's glory in life, when you enter the tough things, that's the time to throw up your hands and to say, God, I thank you. I thank you for your hand. I thank you, God. I don't have to understand the circumstance. I don't have to understand the outcome. But what I do understand is that you are God and I give you thanks. That I simply cannot lose in this process. Can't lose here because I belong to you. I think about this past few days, few hours, I think about Gerald going on to be in heaven. Do you know he couldn't lose no matter what happened? He couldn't lose. We need to give thanks. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be going from glory to glory, more and more of Him, more and more of being with Him. What else can we learn from this story? Well, this is what we can learn, that giving thanks is the supreme expression of faith. We know this from Hebrews 11:6, that faith has to be included if we're going to please God. Whatever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says in Romans. If faith is in the process, if we have faith, then we can please God. Giving thanks is just a very practical expression of what we believe. In verse 16, the Bible says he gave thanks to Jesus. In verse 19, Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. His faith is connected to his gratitude. And I've said this over and over. The two greatest faith words we could ever say are thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for our food. Thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those who you've put in my life. Thank you, God. Thank you that even though I'm going through a hard time, I thank you that you are my deliverer and that you have the answer to the situation. You see, our gratitude is the extreme expression of our faith. It says that we trust His Word and we trust His character. Because we say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. It's kind of like when our kids were little and I would say, okay, we decided what we're going to do on our vacation. We're going to go to Disneyland. know what they said? Thank you. We hadn't packed any bags. We hadn't done anything. But because they knew that if we said we were going to go, we were going to go. They knew that we told them the truth, and that if we said we're going, that meant, number one, we already had the money. Number two, or we had a way to get the money. And number two, we were already making reservations, making plans to go. And so they immediately would say, thank you, because they believed and trusted us. Man, and they knew that that's what was going to happen because they trusted us. I ran across this little paragraph this week. It says, one of the gifts of thanksgiving is that it forces us to take note of the good things in our lives. Too often, we tend to notice the negative things. But the very act of giving thanks calls our attention to our blessings, to wit, the following. When we start to count flowers, we cease to count weeds. When we start to count blessings, we cease to count needs. When we start to count laughter, we cease to count tears. When we count happy memories, we cease to count years. You can't focus on the negative if you're giving thanks. We need to learn how to be that. Giving thanks is faith, especially in the tough times. That's when it's the sacrifice of praise. That's when it's important. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, if I don't know the will of God in the situation, I know one thing, give thanks. I mean, I may not know whether to go here or go there, but I know this, I'm going to give thanks because He's going to show me what to do. And I'm going to give thanks because even if I mess up, His mercy is new every morning. I'm going to give thanks. When we don't give thanks in the midst of bad things, I mean, and we think that God is sending them our way, that's an affront to Him. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. We need to recognize that. When we give thanks in the midst of evil days, it's because we know that our help comes from God. We know that He's the one who will help us. We know His Word promises deliverance, healing, abundance, prosperity. We know it promises the blessing of God. When we give thanks, we know that He will do what He said He would do. That's what Thanksgiving is about. And we know this. Giving thanks is often a sacrifice. Listen to these verses. By Him, Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We read that earlier. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Psalm 107:22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Why would it be a sacrifice? Because it hadn't been manifested yet. It's a sacrifice for me to give thanks when I haven't seen the result. It's a sacrifice, but we need to do that. It becomes a sacrifice because we do it by faith and not by our feelings. We give thanks because we know that He's faithful to what He promised us. We give thanks. Leviticus 22:29 says it this way, and when you will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. I offer it because I know that God will do what He said He would do. We give thanks because He's our answer. And here's the coolest part of this whole story. Thanks brings restoration into our lives. 10 were healed. 1 gave thanks. That's kind of a sad thing. 10 were healed, 1 gave thanks. Most people only want the benefit of getting to go to heaven when they die. They want the cleansing part. But very few want fellowship with Him. Gratitude is what is part of that fellowship. The one gave thanks. And here's the interesting thing. It wasn't the religious one. It was the Samaritan one. It was the one that went to the wrong church that gave thanks. The Jewish guys never came back. I mean, I guess they thought that going to the priest and their religious action was going to take it, was going to be all it needed. The Samaritan came and gave thanks. Here's the thing I know about irreligious people. they're not very concerned about the rules. They just want the master. They don't care if they, you know, do the genuflecting and if they, you know, wear their hair the right way. They just want the master. This one guy who doesn't know any better comes back, and the Bible says he glorified God with a loud voice. He didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care what was going on. I mean, he, with a loud voice, gave thanks. One of the things that destroyed leprosy, I mean, that leprosy destroyed in most people's body, one of the first things that, or one of the main things it got to was their vocal cords. This guy came with a loud voice. He proclaimed thanks to God. He was healed. He could now shout to God. He comes and he shouts. 10 were healed. Now, this is interesting. 10 of them got healed, but only one of them was made whole. What does that mean? 10 guys were cleansed of the continuing effects of leprosy. One guy got his fingers back. One guy got his toes back or his ear or whatever else had fallen off. 10 of them, the leprosy stopped in their, 9 of them, the leprosy stopped in their bodies, well, all 10 of them, but only one of them was made whole. Healing came as a result of asking for mercy, but restoration came as a result of giving thanks. See, they got mercy. And I don't know. It's good to get to go to heaven, but it's better, I do know, it's better to have relationship with Jesus Christ now. That's where wholeness comes, by having fellowship with Him. Thanksgiving brings total restoration. Thanksgiving is the key to recovering all that the devil has stolen from us. Thanksgiving is the key. Thanksgiving. The devil doesn't even know what to do with us when we give thanks. It demonstrates we have confidence in God and we can be delivered. So, our job is to give thanks. And this Thanksgiving, not just thank you for the food. What else can we be thankful for? What are we thankful for in this time? There's so much we can be grateful for. Even when I don't understand, there are things going on right now that I simply do not understand. But you know what? I am thankful to God. I'm thankful. Every circumstance in my life is not perfect. How about yours? No. But I'm thankful. Because I know that total restoration is going to come to the one who comes back to give thanks. His glory be released. His faith, his power is released through our faith because we say, thank you. We have total restoration. Lord, we thank you. Would you take just a minute and thank him? I thank you. Lord, there's so many things in my life that are going on that I simply don't have an answer for. But I know this, you do. Lord, it hadn't worked out exactly the way I thought it would. But I thank you. I know this. You have a plan. You know the way. Jesus, you said you were the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And today I give you thanks. I thank you today that you didn't abandon us. You didn't take us out of Egypt to drop us off in the promised land. But you brought us out to bring us in to your promise. I thank you today, Father. There's much more than I understand. And I give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks and honor in Jesus' name.